You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 90. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we've got a little tournament report to do. We had a couple pair of tournaments over the weekend. And that's pretty much it. It's going to be a short show.
Lay your head and go to sleep, my child. And I will tell you tales of yesterday. Listen to the story of our Savior.
Well, let's get right into it. We played a 2E tournament last week. And, as well as I did 2 weeks ago, I did that poorly this time.
Oh, no.
I went 0 for 4. I held two tough opponents to modified wins. That was exciting. But,
You really looked like you were putting the shutdown on. I'm surprised that you did not have more success with that.
You know, I was playing DS9 with Holding Cell and Kemptar to go get it for cheap. So at just some random time, you know, you've got good people out. I'm going to play Kemptar. I'm going to go fetch two Holding Cells and just, you know, gank two of your people, and they're going to sit there, and I'm going to keep playing interrupts. I had Jetsia so that if you do play a few interrupts and, you know, bounce one of them, or if I called the personnel that you had three of, Then it would go under the deck, and I could download it again with Kemptar, or I could draw into it later. But it's a style of deck that just takes it turns the game into a chess match, and I am not good enough to play chess with Star Trek cards. this deck came from a chat that I had with Charlie during the week. I think he had got the genesis of it from Kevin Yeager, and then he forwarded it over to me. So I put it together, made a few changes to the dilemma pile, realized it was a mistake, and changed them back, made a few changes to the actual deck, and I ended up taking those changes out too. I tried to make it something that was more in line with what I would feel comfortable with playing, and I felt like I was taking out the keys to the deck. So I left it as is, and you know, I felt like I was in every game, except maybe my game against TK. That didn't go well at all, but it just a couple of timed wins, a close game against Matt, and it just didn't work out.
Well, you definitely put a wrinkle in my plans when we played. I was, as you saw, I was playing an old Borg deck that we enjoyed with some new toys. It was basically the Mass Assimilation. You've always been my favorite annexation drone for points, and just start pulling out all the assimilation pieces that you need, mm-hmm. and hopefully scare your opponent enough to slow them down while you get everything hooked up and ready to go. And you managed to, well, you hit my assimilation or my annexation drone right away after I played
you had
all
three of
them. So that blew that up, and you threw one under with Jadzia. You're Holding Cell back under.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, you know, they serve their purpose, although I do feel like I haven't played anyone now. That's interesting. And then, you know, I got everything out, and then I, you know, pulled out a pair of my, the invasive drones.
Yeah.
So that I could, you know, come and get you whenever you leave your headquarters. And without that kind of key piece, I left me out in the wind. You went to planet first real fast and got that out of the way, and then we're in space, so I couldn't beam over to you, and I could only... you had... First time I've ever seen anybody get those the vastly outnumbered DS9 crew to work with O'Brien on your Centaur.
That's right.
So your shields were just out of reach of the sphere I had played. So I could either take a turn and quintess for a cube and go get that, or I could keep working on my mission. And I managed to get a couple of simulations off of dilemmas, which was really the only saving grace for me. And I managed to get a mission off, which was the only thing that put me ahead in the
modified win points
for you. But I feel like that if that game had kept going, you would have edged me out, because the only thing I could do to come and engage you that way was try and start playing my handful of interrupts, which you then have the choice of whether or not you want to blow them up by putting them on holding cell.
Yeah, because I had three holding cells out, so it would have taken a long time.
And the only thing, and what's funny is I've always been a huge fan of personnel anti-verb cards, like we talked about last week, Cisco and Mila.
Yeah.
For anti-interrupt, and 2 of 9 is huge for the Borg. You know, you get them out, you throw them under the bus, under your deck, to blow up an event, and then next turn, first turn, first start of your turn, you contest for them. Discard 2 cards off the top, and then you do it again. So you could blow up an event each turn. Only I couldn't play them, apparently, because they're still in play for uniqueness if they're on holding cell. So
yeah, I had to wait until
that whole plan backfired of having a personnel that you can't quote unquote cancel.
Matt was playing Borg as well, and I think the reason that he was able to run through me is because I knew I couldn't play my holding cells until he played his 2 of 9 so that I could get him in a holding cell, because otherwise he just burned through them. So I held back, and he held back, and then eventually he played all his cards, and he was able to outrace me. So that didn't work out so well. What did he play? He played Swashbuckler at Heart on me in my mission attempt, so he could see that I had holding cells in his hand, in my hand. So he said, oh, well, I guess I won't be playing this guy then.
Yep.
Because I don't get a if you use him, I don't get a chance to ever capture him, because you play him and he goes right under, and I can't capture him on your turn. So
yeah.
You'd have to. Yeah.
He was the focus of our chess match too. When I played him, we were playing Borg Assimilator versus Borg Solver, and the big error I always make when I'm playing reactive decks is getting impatient, and you know, I wait for you, and you're not doing anything, so I finally go and attempt a mission, and I was gonna refuse to let him outwait me. So I swear it was, we had 5 minutes left in the round before either of us left our headquarters.
Oh my, that sounds like a long game.
We both burned through his deck and then some. I burned through almost all of my 90 card deck. But he got towards the end where he was doing that. So there's this new thing that everybody thinks is like the greatest thing ever, which is I find amusing because it was the first thing I thought of when I saw this card. But keeping track of you, is that what it's called? The Q2 image, and it's a, you know, you play it and it mirrors a Q event you have in play, and everybody thinks it's the greatest shit ever to mirror Oh Nothing Happened, and
right.
You keep doing it, cycling. You know, you think you get 3 more Oh Nothing Happens, which yes, duh, but apparently now it's the new big thing, especially with a party atmosphere. Matt had played through his entire deck and was using 4 of 9 to put her under his deck, quote unquote, and then discard the top 4 cards, which was just the 1 card, and then you get 4 cards back. So he would get her and then 3 Oh Nothing Happens. And then he would draw them, and then he would play them, you know, for
so
free with a party.
Your,
so he was just
lump.
Eating my dwelling pile, and I was like, okay, whatever, you know, I've got more. I've got a huge dilemma pile. You know my dilemma pile. But he was trying to do the assimilation, the Earth mission. So he was trying to get rid of all of my secret IDs and caretaker's guests, anything that I could target a specific He wasn't nice, so that I couldn't, you know, keep him from having the Borg Queen and Locutus to solve that mission. But towards the end, you know, I had my huge core of assimilation stuff, and he kept he decided to throw 2 of 9 in the mix and keep pinging away at my events, and I was like, whatever, I can outlast that, and he just never left. And I was finally like, it was dwindling enough that soon I wasn't going to have anything left, and I had been sitting on 5 points to use a what's the interrupt that lets you go assimilate somebody?
Reborn.
Sitting on a reborn for 5 points and waiting to use it, and he just wouldn't leave. And finally, I had to quintess for the Queensborg cube. You know, he had decked, and so he 2 of 9'd me. So that was his deck. His 1 card was 2 of 9. I went and attacked his empty ship at his headquarters for no gain, but I was able to, changing history, to reveal the top card of his deck and assimilate it if it was a personnel that I didn't have in play. And I had made sure I had thrown my 2 of 9 under the bus already and didn't have him in play. And so neither of us could use it then, but it was the only thing I could do to keep him from completely taking me out. And yeah, it was a really timid, conservative chess match of a game. I ended up attempting a mission finally and getting 10 points off of Lacutus. And he played one annexation drone, and that was the final. It was 15-5.
After an hour, you scored 20 points between you.
Yeah, it was you know, two rival hives, you know, ran into each other and didn't quite know what to think about that, and could not adapt in time.
Paying homage at the ancient temple, the daughter of the chief, she found him there. She watched him as he rose from the obelisk, a god with pale white skin and golden hair. Brought before the tribal chief and asked to prove his might, a dead boy laying at his feet, his flame he had to hide.
Well, congratulations to Johnny for winning the tournament. He actually went undefeated with 2 modified wins. But, you know, our first round, it was, I'm looking at the scorecards, modified loss, modified win, modified loss, modified win, modified loss, modified win. Every game went to time.
Wow.
In fact, in the second round, every game but one went to time. So it was a lot of just slow people learning how to play their decks.
Yeah.
People just being very careful.
And there was a lot of involved decks this week. There were 2 Romulan, you know, event manipulators. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the 2 Borg decks. You had your, you know, your holding cell manipulation deck. The only person I didn't play was TK. And
he was playing his Klingon speed deck, and it worked pretty well.
Okay, so.
Which is surprising, because he went to time a few times as well. And, yeah, I'm playing, this lone pile has its legacy, pretty much. The holding cells, the deck has a lot of interesting things to it. One of them is holding cells target your opponent's leadership personnel. So that, or at least this is what I figured from looking at the deck list, because most of the dilemmas are skill-based leadership things, like the general admiral or 3
dignitaries and witnesses
that bounces. Yes. Now, I didn't use my holding cells in that way until I think the last game against Thomas, and since he was playing Klingons, he had, you know, every other personnel
Tons.
Had leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't really help very much.
And he's even got a few generals in there.
Yeah, and every time, I think, either might have played Legacy on him 4 times, and he pulled 3. He doesn't play very many skill dilemmas, but he hit him all 3 times.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, that was a typical TK game. I'm going to do this mission, okay. I can't stop you. I'm going to do this mission, okay. I'll watch. I'll do this mission. I'll stop you once. The next turn, it's pretty much over. So I want to say that was the least fun game, but that was the only game that I really didn't feel like, you know, I can keep up with this. I ended up getting Kimtar my opening hand, so I dropped him, and he had played Dukat and Lursa. I was like, all right, we got a leadership and Dukat. You know, I like cards in my discard pile, and that's good for me. So I went ahead and just played on the first turn and got his 2 people. And, you know, turn later, he's dropping Riker and Kruge, and now I'm down a Scimitar, and yeah. So lots of mistakes, and it was I'll claim it was partially a bad matchup, but I'm not going to make any deal about my playing style in that game either. So, but you know, I did my part as tournament director and lost all the games. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, you make everybody feel good about their deck. So everybody got at least 1 win.
That's right.
Thank you, as our old friend Nick Paris would say in our science classes, where he frequently set the curve. Thank you, Rogue, for being in this class, because you make the top half of the class possible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, he was kind of a jerk, so what do you want? But it, you know, it was a fun day on the whole.
Yeah,
I had a good games all around, with the exception of Johnny, which is not to say that it wasn't a good game against him. It was just a poor game for my side. I got everything set up right away, and right around the time I was ready to quintess for my ship the next turn and start going and assimilating things, he blew up three things at once, including my quintessence, and I had no way of getting a ship. And two had already rolled off for quintessence discards, and two more went under for PNP targets, and it was the second to last turn of the game before I even got a ship, so he kind of ran away with that one.
What was you playing, Romulan? Oh, he was using that new the new card to blow up things?
Yes, that was interesting. I had, I guess I just, after I peeled two ships off the top with my quintessence, I decided to try a different strategy than I had tried before and play two You Know That You've Always Been My Favorites at the same time, so I could get the cards out of my deck. Because I played the one, and he didn't blow it up. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll play the other one, because he would have blown up the first one if he had the choice. And I had about, there were still two cards left on each of them. I got the important, most of the important cards off. But I, you know, pull them off onto those events so that they're not peeled off when I'm contesting for other things.
Oh, right. Sure.
And then he sent back, he played sent back, which gets rid of all copies of an event in your core. And they go back under your deck, but all the cards on them are discarded. And then you get to draw two cards. Yay.
Were you playing with the new Borg Interrupt?
I was. That was a lot more complicated than I expected it to be.
That you have to have someone that you don't command and then stop them?
Yes. You have to have somebody that you don't command on your ship. I only got it off against TV. And it, even then, it was kind of a complicated maneuver. I finally ended up having to do the same thing and pull, because nobody, I guess even though they know it's there, nobody expects you to actually play with the Queen's Borg Cube anymore. And so people were lackadaisically leaving their people on their ships at their homeworlds. And so I went over and I'm like, pulled out my second ship, Queen's Borg Cube, went over there and had to use one invasive drone to get to him. Beam my harvest drones over to his ship, and I beamed another invasive drone onto the surface of his headquarters so that I can attack him with my ship, and everybody on both ships is stopped except for the people you assimilate.
Right.
And then the harvest drones assimilate people, and they're where they are. And then, so I had to use my invasive drone to beam one of them back over to my ship, and then I had one of them on his ship. And then I could play the interrupt.
Right.
It really broke my brain, but I got, that was my most assimilation for the day. I got four off of him at his headquarters, and then he was much too careful after that for me to be able to get any more. But that got me my 30 points, or my 20 points, and he got a 35 point mission. That was another timed game that was a bit of a chess match.
Said, our God has finally come to us. He breathed life to the dead. Oh, he breathed life to the dead. He breathed life to the dead. Oh, he breathed life to the dead. Hi-ya-ho!
Well, after the Chewy tournament wrapped up, we put our cards away and pulled out our triples decks for what was, I think, the longest triples match. I don't know. We played an awful long time at that game in Columbus, but this seemed to go on forever.
I think it was there was no single round that was longer than that first round in Columbus, but on the whole, it was probably the longest multi-round tournament we've had in a while. But that was because there were a lot of firsts in that round, game. It was a long game, but that we had the first player in our group. I think I haven't seen anybody else on the posted tournaments do this, but we had our first player break a million triples.
Yeah, TK was playing a deck that does a lot of poisoning and a lot of scoring and a lot of toxining, and I don't think he went out once, but he just racked up the points. However, he came in second to you.
To the second player to ever break a million points. However, it was a first for me because I was not playing my usual deck, which is basically what TK was playing, Poison Score, Tally, Toxin, and getting points elsewhere. He was just getting ridiculously lucky pulls. You know, he had 8 or 9 poisons or toxins for 10,000 or higher in a single round. It was crazy.
There's not enough people playing with antidotes around here, and people say, "Dan, the antidote's not good enough to put in my deck." Well, look what happens when you don't play that.
That's right. And that was.
But you know, you went out twice. Yeah,
I played for the first time in probably a really, really long time. I played a non-poison deck. I actually played a deck where I tried to go out, and I went out twice.
It looks like you got 460 in one time and 450 in the other time. Now, it should be said that when the rounds are shorter, this many points usually just don't happen. But we just kept playing forever. Yeah.
And the talks there, you know, lots of people trying to pull off, trying to pull in the last ditch discard deck or discard, you know, throw in the one discard or a handful of discards just to use it to try to go out. But they were so desperate to get down there, they would try it anyway, and then it would fail. And then whenever somebody drops the toxin, then they have to draw more cards. And we had people decking themselves more than once. You know, TV has a huge deck, and he decked himself. He had a huge handful of cards, and you know, had to keep playing the discards and drawing, which led to lots of toxin points. I mean, you said I went out twice, and that was only about 900,000 points. Yeah. I ended up with 1.3 million, so that's. That's the difference. The only other thing I scored points off of was Toxin.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to retool my deck to just make it be faster. That's all there is to it, because the game has to end sooner.
I had a huge amount of fun playing the clone deck. I took a hybrid of a deck I had already been working on and a lot of Brian's cloning and played that, and that was a lot of fun. Almost always had a card to play.
Yeah, that's the key. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, about halfway through the tournament, we had to pause because you went screaming around the building.
Well, I think that was one of the rounds I went out to, which was irritating for a couple of people next to me because they kept elbowing me. Dude, it's your turn, play a card. Dude, it's your turn, play a card. Okay, hang on, I'm watching the NLCS on Dan's phone because I can't miss the ninth inning and I've already missed most of the game for being at this tournament. But when Brian Wilson struck out Howard to send my San Francisco Giants to the World Series, I almost fell out of my chair and I certainly went screaming around the building and then came back and then won that round, which, much to the irritation of people who had to nudge me to keep playing. So I appreciate everybody's indulgence, especially since we live in San Diego, where we are a lot of Padres fans, and the Giants had to beat out the Padres for the division in a close late season pennant race. But I feel like, you know, I may be a little biased as a Giants fan, but I feel like you got to have a lot of respect for the Giants the way they've been playing this season, winning those one-run ball games just over and over and over, thanks to their ridiculous pitching. You know what? I was on the East Coast the last time they were in the World Series, so I felt really detached from it, even though I had to, you know, I stayed up till midnight watching the games. The only other time before that they've been even in contention during my lifetime, it was ruined by your team and an earthquake. So
yes, I
plan to enjoy as much of this as I can, and I have no problem begrudging the American League either, because the Texas has played a hell of a season and they definitely deserve going to their first World Series this year so I'm certainly rooting for the Giants, and I would be happy if they won, but I would be happy to congratulate the Rangers if they were able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Let's just avoid no more sweeps in the middle of earthquakes. That would be nice. I was thinking about going down. I was like, well, the last time there was a World Series here, the earth done shaketh.
Well, either way, it was a good night for you all around. When it trembles, good for the Giants.
Yeah.
And
broke even in the regular play, so.
Well, unfortunately, there's apparently no set close enough to the being released that we can give you a spoiler. But we will keep our agents to the ground and see what we can dig up for next time.
But in the meantime, that's pretty much it. We are out of intelligence for this week, so we're going to go ahead and sign off and give our customary shout-out to Warp 11, because they rock! And thanks, TK, for his producing work on the show. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind all of you to expand your power in the universe and go Giants.
And I will draw 90 to end and remind everyone to go vote for the Harry Mudd concept stuff.
Yes, that's good.
One day the lake grew wild, the sky was filled with rage, and K-Rock beat upon the temple like an animal in a cage. But the temple would not open, and the stones began to fly. He lost his wife and child, and returned to the sky, oh. He returned to the sky, oh. He returned to the sky. He returned to the sky, oh. He returned to the sky.